I'd like to ask you to take the Bible and turn to the book of 1 Peter, the general epistle of 1 Peter chapter 5 tonight. I do appreciate the opportunity to stand for my Lord, preach His Word. Don't take it for granted. I remind you tonight that I am very feeble, very weak, and I need your prayer. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Thank you for coming around the altar and praying, and those of you that prayed in your seat, thank you for coming out to the house of the Lord. We're glad to see you. I know the Lord is glad to see you tonight in His house, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. If you're there in 1 Peter chapter 5, say amen. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, I'm going to say a dirty word today, society. You ready? Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject. Now that word means be submitted to. It's more of submitting as if it's already in action. It's a little bit stronger word. All of you, talking about Christians, are to be subject one to another and be clothed with humility for God. Now, we do everything that we do it because of God. Peter says earlier in this epistle, be ye holy, because God's holy. And be humble, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore. Interesting verse. It gives you some responsibility. Under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And don't you love this verse? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let us pray. Father and Almighty God, I do thank You for Your Word. I pray that You'll add a special blessing to it tonight. I'm weak. I'm feeble. I have a finite mind. And I have a stammering tongue. And without the precious moving and power of the Holy Spirit of God, my message will be for naught. I cannot preach by myself, and I need Your help tonight. Lord, I pray for all the sick and the afflicted and the hurt and the wounded, both physically, mentally, and spiritually tonight. I pray that You would be the healing balm to their souls, to their bodies, and to their minds. Father, I pray that You'd hold absolute sway in this building tonight. I'm very prone to wander and to mess up, and I pray that You'd hold captive my mind, my tongue, my heart, and my soul. Help me to preach with the authority of the Word of God. Cleansing my sin, empty me of myself, fill me with Your Spirit. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our ears to the preached and engrafted Word. Thank You for the authority of Scripture. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the local New Testament church. Thank You most of all for the precious gift of Your only begotten Son that You sent into this world to die in our place and to rise again so we can have eternal life. Touch our hearts tonight. Help us to see what it means to be a humble person biblically. We'll give You honor. We'll give You praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." What a statement. He inhabits eternity. That means when I got saved, somebody who inhabits eternity came to live inside of me. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. I don't know about you, but when Isaiah says that, I'm thinking that's where I want to be. And he goes on to say this. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Did you know I and you have never done anything that's turned the head of God? I've never done anything in my life that God's looked and said, wow, look at him. The only thing that I've ever done in my life that God looked and said, wow, was not me doing it, but was the Lord. God, He flips this thing backwards on you from what you think it is. The Bible, if you read it in its narrative, is very much a battle of good versus evil, a battle that's already won by good. But it's also a battle between the humble and the prideful. Pride is the original root of all sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's Satan's message. Satan will pull what's already been put inside of you by your nature. And that is that I want what I want for me now. Ye shall be as gods. Ye shall know good and evil. Ye, and what caused Adam and Eve to no longer be able to dwell with the high and lofty one? They were no longer innocent. They were no longer lowly. They were no longer humble. And as I look at this word humble, you know, it's hard to define, isn't it? It seems like we have a lot of definitions of what it means to be humble. The best way to define it is really by a lifestyle. And the best definition you're going to find is the best definition of anything good, and that's in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this word humble in the Hebrew here, it means this. It means base, low, to sink down, humiliated. Humiliated. Now, a lot of us want to act humble, but we don't want to feel what it really means. You know, if you're really a humble person every now and then, you're going to feel humiliated. Jesus was humiliated in the ultimate action of humility at Calvary. But what does it mean tonight to be a humble person? It's interesting. The Greek word is very similar. The Hebrew word just carries a stronger physical connotation with it, because Hebrew words always, and most of the time, carry very strong physical pictures inside of the word. It's very vivid language. But the Greek is very much about what the word means in itself. There's not really a story behind it. It's more of an abstract word. And that the word in the Greek is almost the exact same word as it is in the Hebrew. It's to be brought low. God smiles at humility. God appreciates humility. But we got to define it tonight biblically. I'll tell you what the great scholar C.S. Lewis, the author of Mere Christianity, it's a great book, y'all pick it up and read it. He said this, humility, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. This false humility of, oh, woe is me, I'm stink at everything, that's not humility. I call that fishing for compliments. Real humility is, I haven't thought of myself today. I've only thought of God. Jesus' favorite preacher, John the Baptist, said it best when he said, here ought to be every single preacher and every single Christian's motto. He must increase, I must decrease. John, surely you are the Messiah that is to come. No. I'm not even worthy to unloose the shoe latchet of the true Messiah, of the true one that is to come. That's humility. So did you know tonight that biblically speaking, you can't be humble without God? Without God in His proper place, it's an impossibility. Humility is a gift from God. Now, I want you to look at verse number 5 of chapter 5. And don't worry, we're going somewhere and we're going to enjoy it tonight. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And don't just get on the young people. Peter says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. But I'm interested in this next term, and be clothed with humility. Ladies, do you have your humble dress on tonight? Men, do you have your humble shirt on tonight? Every morning you get up, you're supposed to put on your humble clothes. You know, the best example we ever get of that, here's what it means. It means to put on humility as a girdle or a slave's work apron. As Jesus did when He wrapped Himself with a towel to wash His disciples' feet. Mind you, the feet of the one who was about to betray Him to crucifixion. Whoa. I'm talking about the same one that inhabit. Y'all believe Jesus is God, right? This church is still fundamental, right? We still believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We still believe He is the Son of God. He did look at the Pharisees and said, "You think I'm blaspheming? Try this one on the side. Ye shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory." He stepped it up and He said, "Hey, before Abraham was, I am." But He knelt down. Got down. Samuel looked at Saul and said, "Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, did I not put you over the kingdom of Israel?" But Saul became too big for his britches. And God had to reject him from being king. I'm asking you tonight, are you clothed with humility? Do you see a wrapper on the floor and step over? Are you really a humble person? If you think you are, chances are you're not. And you're looking at somebody who's battled this more than anybody else in this room. Because pride is it's just a terrible, terrible thing. Paul said, it's just, "Yea, in my flesh just dwells nothing good. There's just no good thing in me." Humility, verse number 6, if you would. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You say, "I want God to exalt me. I want God to show me His will. I want to live in the will of God." Get down. Get low. Let God take you up. Joshua never exalted himself. Moses never exalted himself. Noah never exalted himself. Paul never exalted himself. None of the leaders, Caleb, never exalted himself. None of the men or women in the Bible that ever made a difference for God ever exalted themselves. They always got low and God lifted them up. That's the message. Jesus never exalted himself. Amen. "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Now, you say, "I hear all that, but what does a humble person look like? What does a humble person look like on the inside?" Raise a hand if you'd like to know the answer to that question tonight before you go home. How do I know what a humble person really looks like on the inside? I'm interested in that. If God puts that much of an emphasis on humility, Lord, I want to be humble. But that's tough. Look at the next verse. The answer to your question is in verse 7. I heard a sermon on this. I had to listen to it twice. Once by myself, once with a dad. It got a hold of my heart so much, I had no idea the key to humility was in this little verse right here. "Casting all..." I'm going to underline it for you. You ready? Those of you that don't like loud noises, shut your ears. "Casting all..." Don't skip over that verse or that word. We skip over. The Bible's full of three-letter words and three-letter phrases that make a big difference. My favorite one is, "It is finished." That's a big difference, amen. "Casting all..." I just like doing that too. That relieves me. "Casting all your care..." Some of y'all quoted that wrong your whole life. You said casting all your cares up. Care-a. Not cares up. Care-a. Singular. That makes a difference when we get to it. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." First thing, the action of casting. What does a humble person look like? The Holy Spirit of God, Brother Freddie, has gone inside the mind of Peter.
And the Holy Spirit of God is marching up and down the mind of Peter, trying to find something to write down here. Trying to give Peter the inspiration, breathing these words through this man. And all he can find is fishing terms. All he can find is fishing terms. If he was to climb up in my mind someday, all he would find would be basketball terms sometimes. Sometimes all he could find up in Paul's mind was sports. Paul used things like racing and different things like that. Because they were men, amen? Ain't nothing wrong with sports, you put it in the right place. And all he can find is fishing. So Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So this is what a humble person does. He gives everything that bothers him to God. You know, if you come to the altar and you go back to your seat with half of what you were supposed to lay at the altar, you know what God thinks about you? He still thinks you're an arrogant person. I can handle it. I know there's a lot of these, I'm tough enough, going on today. I'm a humble person. A humble person casts all his care. Now, we're going to look at the word casting. What does that mean? Y'all want some deep theology here? Y'all ready for some deep definitions? Man, I'm spitting all over my brand new Bible. This is some deep theological stuff. You ready? It means this. Person in distress, person with trouble in your life, person struggling with holiness, struggling with the process of biblical sanctification in your life, person struggling with lust, person struggling with something bad or something troublesome or a health issue or something in your, whatever it is that you've got going on, I want you to look at me. I want you to listen to me tonight. You want to be a humble Christian? You want to be somebody God's going to use? Here's something deep. Throw it and let it go. Peter says, hey, throw it and let it go. Get rid of it. Throw it and let it go. Now, Peter, he used one of them old school nets. He didn't have one there. He had one of them. And the kind of net he used, he had to put the thing that's hooked to the net, that's sitting on that chain, put his mouth a little bit. So he had to take that net and he had to throw it. And then as soon as that thing had let go with his mouth, and catch it real quick. It takes a lot of coordination. I don't think I can do it. It takes a lot of practice. But Peter understood that at one time, this net, I had it in my hands. But what I've done, I've casted it. I'm throwing it, and you can't fish unless you let it go. Because if you mess up that process, you'll get tangled up in the net. How about that? Are you tangled up in the net tonight? You know why? You tried to throw it, but you didn't let it go. And I don't know what it is. I'm hoping the Holy Ghost is bringing to your mind what it is. Maybe you tried to throw it last Sunday, but it's still with you this week. See, I went to camp as a 17-year-old boy too. And I threw it. I threw my rock music. I threw my lust. I threw my pride. I didn't let it go. Mr. Harvey said this to me. You're going to be called to preach yet, ain't you? I said, no. I've seen what people do to preachers. I ain't ever preaching. And yet here I stand. Because the next summer, I threw it and I let it go. And it made a difference. Throw it and let it go. I got a lust problem. Throw it and let it go. I can't make it. Throw it and let it. David said, I've been young, I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken because David learned how to throw it and let it go. David, your son is dead. You know what he did? He stood up and he went and got him some bread. He threw it and he let it go. Joe, your whole family's dead. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed. I love that so much. Y'all are starting to catch on. I'm going to say that every sermon. I love it so much. It comes out every sermon. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he's done? He threw it and he let it go. Casting. The action of casting. In other words, this is what you do with your problems. Matter of fact, I like it better like this. Here's what you do with your problems. Jesus is right. God is behind. Take your problems. Cast them. Let it go. But what am I throwing? Next thing is the attitude of casting.
I'm going to say something tough. You ready? If you don't know how to cast, that means throw it and let it go. God considers you an arrogant person. An arrogant. I don't like that word. I've heard people say, you're arrogant. It offends me. It's true. But I've learned something. Throw it. Let it go. Is there any among us tonight that are troubled over life's problems? You're troubled over life's trials. You're troubled over something in your life. My message to you tonight is simple. It's Peter's message. It's God's message. Cast it. Throw it and let it go. Next thing, the attitude of casting. Highlight that word all. Casting all your care upon Him. Now, all of us tonight thought that the word care meant only our troubles, didn't we? No, 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 no. That word care means this. Distraction or solicitude. The word solicitude means care or concern for someone or something. You say, I'm not a worrywart, I'm just concerned. God says, no excuse, I want your concerns too. He wants it all. All. In other words, you don't say, God, take 50% of my cares and let me go. He says, if I don't get it all, I ain't taking none. Casting all your care. Every single concern, every single desire, every single, you want to be a humble person tonight, you've got to jump headlong into the hands of God. That's humility. I love it. Arrogant and prideful people don't give Him their care. They're concerned. You say, I'm concerned with my future. Why? You know why? You're prideful. I don't like that though. It's what God says tonight. Do you know how many times Jesus looked at His disciples in John 14 through 16 and said, just stop worrying. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing. Amen. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Any among us tonight, you're a Christian and you run around this week, you're going to run around this week like a chicken with your head cut off. But you know why? You're prideful. And you think because you got troubles, you all right. And you ain't prideful because you got troubles. You know, you can be a poor homeless person with troubles and be prideful. And you can be a rich person with no troubles and be humble. Humility and pride is your relationship with God. Everything revolves around that. Now, you know, one time, they came to Jesus. And they always talk to Him about stuff. And He looked, you know what He told His disciples to do on this subject? Take your Bible. We got time tonight. Take your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We got time. Matthew chapter 6. I like reading what Jesus said, don't you? Matthew chapter 6. I like that song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Amen. Why? Because I'm casting. You want to be a good Christian tonight? No such thing, really. You want to please God tonight? Cast it. Cast it. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You know what He's saying? Quit worrying. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know what Jesus says to them? Go bird watching. Jesus says, hey, you want to get this principle in your mind? You have to go bird watching. Y'all want to go bird watching tonight? Let's go bird watching. Behold the fowls of the air. That's King James Version for go bird watching. Amen. That tickles me. I don't know about you. For they sow not, neither do they reap. I don't know about y'all tonight. I've driven down some of these country roads, Brother Freddie, but I've never driven down one of these roads and seen an old raven out there running a tractor. Have you seen one? I've never seen one. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a raven running a tractor sowing. Y'all ever seen? No. I've never even seen one take a seed and plant it. I've never seen them do that. Now, some of them do that. I think there's some kind of birds that they spread the seed or something. But I don't know if they do it on purpose or not. I'm not a scientist. But I've never seen a bird run a... I've never seen a bird at the McDonald's drive-in. Well, I have actually seen a few, but they weren't going through to get food. I've never seen a bird ordering anything. Y'all seen a bird down at McDonald's ordering McDonald's? Y'all ain't nobody? I don't know. Jesus didn't either. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Pointy question. You ready? Are ye not much better than they? Jesus never worried about a thing. He felt the pressure of the world on his brow. He sweat blood. Do you realize the kind of physical and spiritual pain you have to be in to sweat blood? It's almost impossible. You have to be to a level of total distress. He did that without worry. Wow. You know why? He's humble. He humbled himself even unto death. The death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him. Peter said earlier in this epistle, Jesus is our example in all things. He got low, God brought him up. How about you tonight? I want to be elevated. I want to be used down there at the church. Get low. Get down and God will use you. This took me a long time to learn. You know what God told me? Austin, I don't want you preaching near as much as I want you doing the little things. He told his disciples stuff like this. Ye be faithful in little, and I'll make you faithful in much. But you're going to have to get down. That's his economy, y'all. You can't get away from it. You're going to have to get low. Go down. And get under the mighty hand of God. Now, I read an article like this. I heard this. Brother Freddie, get this. They had a petition to feed all the birds. We're going to make sure all the birds in the world get fed. But you know how much they totaled it up a day? $32 billion a day to feed all the birds in the world. How many of y'all, who knows how much Trump is worth? Is it $2 billion? Anybody know tonight? Something like that? Well, I think that if you totaled it up, Hillary would be able to supply the Clinton Foundation. They'd be able to give all the birds a morning snack. Trump would be able to give them a little brunch. But the Heavenly Father feeds them every day. What you worrying about tonight? I like that song. He's got the whole world. In His hand, He's got the whole world. Some of y'all are too dignified for that song. I'm not, Lord. He's got the whole world. In His hand, He's got the whole world. In His hand. I'm not gonna worry. I'm not gonna fret. I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm gonna trust in the Lord, amen. He feeds the birds at $32 billion a day, and He don't have to make a payment to do it. He'll feed you tonight. He'll take care of you tonight. I've never wanted any. I went to Brandon's today, got me chicken tenders and fries. Diet Coke had to balance it out, amen. Went home and ate homemade sugar cookies. I ate some of those apple fig. I went to Mama's house. I'm fixing to go to Mama's house tonight. I ain't wanting for nothing. He'll provide. Amen. Why don't y'all trust in God? Why don't we trust in Him? He deserves it. He said, you're worth a whole lot more. You know, He told him to go bird watching again. He said, okay, I told you, behold, how about the sparrows? Let's get specific. God sees every sparrow that falls. I love how He tells us to go bird watching. $32 billion a day. But God takes care of it without making a payment. What about you tonight? The attitude of casting. The action of casting. Throw it and let it go. The attitude of casting all of me goes in His hands. All of me. The last thing, we're going to quit. The accomplishment of casting. Look at verse... The end of verse number 7. For He careth for you. In other words, Peter is kind of putting a cherry on the sundae right here. You know what Peter's saying right here? He's saying the one that you cast, that you throw it and let it go to, the one that you give all of your care, He's also concerned with you. He wants the best for you. In other words, you can give it into His hands, trusting and knowing that everything He does is going to be the best thing for you. He cares for you. It's a relationship. He cares for you. I know that Sister Jenna and Brother Houston, they want the cares and concerns of Cashton. Bad or good. There's coming a day when that boy becomes toddler and becomes a young man. He's going to have cares and concerns. But guess what? I'm going to shock you tonight, and I don't want to be sad, but this is sad. Do you know the person you love the most, there's coming a day where they're going to have to forsake you? It's called death. There's coming a day where they're going to have to go. And those cares you put in their hands are going to come back on you. Then what? He cares. He cares. You're going to receive His care. You're going to receive His grace. Verse number 5. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to everybody. Nope, 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 nope. God gives grace to the humble. Now, I'm going to tell you what that word resist means. I hope you're listening to me tonight. I know I'm preaching a little slower tonight. But the word resist there is a powerful word. It means to range one's, it's a military term. It means to range oneself against, to oppose. God literally says, you want to sit there in your pride? You want to sit there stiff-necked and hard-hearted? You have that choice tonight, but I'm turning every single war weapon in heaven against you. You either walk with God or you walk opposed to God. There is no in between. Every single, I don't know what the weapons of heaven are, but if I'm prideful down in here, He resists me. I don't resist Him. I don't have the power to do that. He's resisting me. Think about that for a second. He says, I'm opposing you. Solomon makes statements like this. The way of transgressors is hard. And he makes statements like this. Most of the book of Proverbs is about how good it is to be godly and how bad it is to be wicked. The wrath of the Lord is upon the house of the wicked. Think about that for a second. Peter is saying, do not be prideful because God will oppose your life. The very one that I want to be for me will oppose me based upon the condition of my heart. That will make you kneel right there. I don't want the weapons of heaven to be against my life. I want the backing of God. God, please don't put. You're going to have to throw it and let it go tonight. You're going to have to throw it and let it go. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. The weapons of heaven are ranged. They're set against you if you are prideful tonight. You know, there was one who was quite prideful. They called him Lucifer. Why don't you ask him about the weapons of heaven? What happened to him? Did God say, you can hang out up here and be prideful? No. He resists the proud. There's never been a person saved that wasn't first humbled. You know what? I'm not a Calvinist tonight. I believe you can choose to be saved. But I believe you're just going to take the drawing of the Holy Spirit tonight to save you. Nobody in his natural condition runs to God. You know what I'm tired of in the church? I believe it's broken the church. You know what it is? Choice-based, decision-based salvation. Now, decision's a part of salvation. Listen to me, I'm quitting. We're going to quit. We got 15 minutes. Decision-based salvation is not biblical. I didn't say you didn't have a choice, but salvation is not based upon your choice. It's based upon the revelation of truth. Too many people have gotten scared to go to hell and ran and prayed a prayer and they think they're saved. But the truth of the fact of the grace of God and the sinfulness of man has never been revealed to them through the preached word. So they've made their salvation is based upon their prayer, it's based upon their decision, and it's not based upon revelation. Paul said he revealed his son in me. He revealed to me the truth. And then I trusted in him. Let that prick your heart tonight. I believe you choose God. Amen. That's just a fact, isn't it? You can't get away from that. They try to run from it in some circles of preachers I listen to. You can't. You got to choose. God never saves a man against his will. But you better know in your heart that you're a sinner when you run to look at the Savior. You know what knowing in your heart that you're a sinner does? Lowers you down. Too many people are saved, but never lowered. Never low. Christianity is, I heard a Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. he was having them big tent meetings, and there was a witch who was coming to the tent meetings, and he was casting spells on people. He walked up to her and he said this. I love this. To me, this is Christianity. He says, "It's good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here." She goes, "What?" He walks up to her, gives her a hug, and says, "We want you to come back tomorrow night." Humility. Paul says, "Overcome evil with good." Pray. What happened to pray for those that despitefully use you? If somebody hits you on the cheek, give them the other one. If somebody wants your shirt, give them your cloak. If they want you to go a mile with you, go with them 20. Christianity, humility, lowliness. I end with this. Philippians 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself," humility is a choice, "of no reputation. And he took upon him form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he went even lower and humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and every single tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And to the very last second, Jesus is still selfless and pointing to the Father, to the glory of God the Father. Christianity is humility. Jesus is our example. How are you living your life tonight? The action of casting. The attitude of casting it all on Him. And then the accomplishment is in His hands. Peace. Peace. Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." And then guess what happens? Y'all know the next part? "And the peace of God." Not just any peace, the peace of God. And guess what? The peace of God passes all understanding. You'll have that tonight. What say you? Are you humble? The earmarks of the humble person. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You've been so good tonight with your attention. I appreciate that so much.